so good because I was at a conference and I was at a church and that was all fine, but I wasn't home. This is home, amen? Home is where the heart is. Home is where the love is. Home is where you belong, amen? I'm just telling you right now, that song just fired me up. It fired me up. Doesn't take much to fire me up. You know why? Because I got oil in my lamp. That's why. I got oil and I got a wick and it's been trimmed and it's just waiting for the fire to fall from God. Amen? I'm here to tell you right now, every single word of this God, every single word God has put in this book is true. Every word of it. Every word of it is true. It is so true. Nothing in the universe, no powers can come against it. Not one person has ever proven one thing inaccurate or untrue in this book. Not one. And God has given us exceedingly precious promises. Yes. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. Amen. I love him. You know why? Because he first loved me. I don't even know love until I found God. I know what real love was until sacrifice of Christ. Until I saw that he saved a wicked sinner like me. Gave unto me his grace and his love and his kindness and his mercy. Why? Why, God? Because I love you, he said. Wow, that rocked my boat. That rocked my world. That changed everything. That changed everything. Joseph, the love of God has changed everything. There's nothing else that matters. There's nothing else can touch the hem of the garment. There's nothing in this world that can come even a fraction close to the love that God has for me. I'm so loved. I'm so taken care of. He blesses me. He loves me. And one day I'm going to be with him, Keith. Man, I'll never get over that. I'll never get over it. And the day I get over it, just kill me now. The day I got to sing a song, revive us, to get me revived, we're in trouble. The day we don't enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise, we're in trouble. We're so backslidden as a country. We're so backslidden as a people. We're so backslidden that we wouldn't know what front slidden was. We wouldn't know what having an absolute pure heart. What did he say? Blessed are the pure in heart. For they, and only they, shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. A pure heart only comes with love. That's it. You don't need doctrine right now. You don't need to know Bible doctrine and times and dates. All you need to know is love. That's it. That's all you need to know. That'll change you. That'll move you. That'll make you. You won't need a preacher to tell you to do something when you have the love, amen? You won't need a mama to tell you to brush your teeth. You won't need a daddy to tell you to get up and fold your clothes. You won't need anyone to tell you anything because you have love to do it, amen? There's nothing greater in this world than love. Nothing greater in this world. And I got so much of it because God is love. And he loves us. He loves you. And that's why we come to church, hopefully to maybe wash away the dirt and the filth of the world. The world all week long, you know what I mean? Get you down. Get you down. And in all reality, a Christian doesn't have anything to get down about. Nothing. What happens? What if you feel bad? And what if you've been beaten? What if you got in a car wreck and your neck hurts? It's only pain in the physical body. The reality, the truth is that you are so loved and you are so blessed and God can't wait to see you face to face, and there's such great, exceeding, and precious promises. I had one little promise, earthly, worldly promise. It was a promise that a little girl was coming home to live back home to us, and that's little Ava, and she's home, and she makes me so happy. I cannot tell you, it's like having the Holy Spirit back in your home when you have that little cute little girl in our home smiling and saying, "Hi, Daddy. Hi, Mommy." Oh, my goodness. My heart just melts, Keith. And I can imagine, you know what? My heart melts with her. I can imagine how God's heart melts when he just hears us say, "Hi, Daddy. I love you, Daddy." That's what we need to do, amen? Just love God, amen? We are missing a lot of people, and I'm not going to let that bother me one bit. It shouldn't bother you, should it? Even if it was just me and you. It was just two of us, we'd still have church, amen? Even if it was just two of us, we'd still sing. It was just two of us, we'd still praise. It was just one of us. If I was the only one here, I'd be ringing the bell, amen? I'd still be singing because I'm not letting nothing stop me from praising God. Hallelujah. What we're doing today, let me get into it. I just wanted to get out a little bit so I can calm down. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think I'm going to calm down. Joseph, it's good to see you. I didn't think you were coming this morning. I was sitting there going, is the piano player here yet? And when I first heard that piano play around 2 minutes of, I was like, he's here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But it didn't matter if the piano player didn't show up. We were still singing. Amen. It didn't matter if the song leader didn't show up. We were still singing. Amen. It didn't even matter if Ava didn't show up. We were still having church. Amen. Because it's not about, it's really about your love for God. It's not about someone else's love for God. It's about your love for God. How's your love for God? How's your zeal? How's your heart for God? That's what it's all about, isn't it, Craig? That's all. Because in all reality, we're there for one another, to help one another, to build one another up. To build one another up for what? So you can have love for God. So you can just be filled with the love of Christ. Amen? Amen. We are going over the last two. We're finished on the sixth judgment, which is the judgment of angels. I just have a couple verses to read you. And then we're going to ask any questions that you may have. And then I'm going to just finish this today. And what it is the judgment of angels, as we've seen. And I want you to just turn there, just because it is the verse that really kind of starts it all off. And turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. I was just reading something. Amen. Hope you had a good week. I did more driving this week than I could. I think I would have drove to China and back twice. My phone is now officially on. I didn't think you had any problem hearing me the first time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Greg, for not stretching my microphone out with your big ears. I appreciate that. Amen. I remember when Sergio came and used it. He's got the tiniest ears I've ever seen. It took me 20 minutes to get it back in shape. We're going to have one just for me and then one for the rest of you. Amen. Yeah, I know, because his ear is this big. That's why. I know. Let's get into, I want you to think about the things we've learned. And I want you to have questions. Questions are good. Questions are great. Without questions, you cannot learn. You cannot grow. We must all have questions. If you don't have a question, that means that you're not hungry and thirsting for an answer. Bob asked me a question today, and a great verse. When he said, Pastor, I have a question for you. And I was like, sure, I like questions. As soon as he started reading it, I knew exactly what his question was. And he picked a great verse to ask questions because it's a difficult one. Not super difficult, but it's one of those ones you're like, huh? Amen. So it's good to have questions. Turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Are you there? In verse 3, it says, know you not that we shall judge angels? Now, I just want to let you know, he said, no, you're not. You know what that means? That means a lot of people don't know that. And I'm sure people here today didn't know that until we came to Sunday school and learned it. But look at the verse above in verse 2. It says, do you not know? And the truth of the matter is there's a lot of people that don't know. It says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Amen. We shall judge the world? Amen. And then he adds on top of that, don't you know? We're going to judge angels. You know, God in the Bible says that there's powers and principalities. God says there's rulers. There has been a hierarchies in spiritual places. I'm not talking about wicked places. In God's realm, there are, like, gravity is a power. There's many different powers that we have yet to discover and yet to know. But we're going to know all those things one day. And we're going to be out of the confines of our minds, as we only use like 10% of our mind. Some of us, not even that. But we're going to have 100% use of our mind. We're going to know everything that God knows. He's just going to download absolutely everything that he knows into our mind, and we're going to know all things. And we're going to judge the world. We're going to rule the world. We're going to be the ones that tell the others what's right and what's wrong. How are you going to know that? Because right now you're living it. Right now you're in class. Right now you're in school. What do you think this life is? Life is a school. You're here to learn. Amen? Whether you're a child, whether you're 100, whether you're a CEO, or whether you're a person living in a cardboard box, you all have things to learn. There's so much to learn from every single little detail. You know when you learn the most is when something bad happens to you. You learn so much more in the bad tribulation things than you do in the good. We have learned. That's why God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. He said, they shall be as one of us. Who's God talking to? Himself, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. They commune with one another. They speak to one another. They are one. They are one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. But the Bible says that he has three heads, the three Godheads, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Just as you have a body, a living body, you have a living soul and you have a living spirit. Amen? Until you get born again, you are not a trichotomy, you are a dichotomy. You're going to die, but you are two. You are body, soul, and spirit. And the spirit gives the body, soul, life. Once the spirit leaves, your body dies, and your soul will enter into eternity without God forever and ever. That's why God did everything he did, so we can have all this. But he did it to be so that we can be like him. I don't know why I'm talking about this so much. Let me get in and let's just finish this up. And if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 with me, 1 Timothy 5, and we'll just have a couple verses, then I'm going to open up for some questions. 1 Timothy 5. Say amen when you're there. Hey, Jason, how you doing? Good morning. Amen to that, brother. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look with me, if you would, please, in verse 21. I would like, Brother Jason, if you would, you got a nice deep voice, would you please stand and read that verse out loud if you're there? If you're not there, I'll get Greg to do it. All right, Greg, would you please stand and read 21 nice and clear? Loud, and what are you looking on, your phone? You know the Bible?
No, I'm taking notes.
Taking notes on your phone. Okay, go ahead. Read that.
I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by
partiality. Amen. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's three entities here, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels. They all are in heaven. All them are in heaven. And here, God says he has elect angels. You would think that all the angels were elect, but they're not. You would think that all the people of the world are elect, but they're not. You would think that the every human being in the world, do you realize that every nation, every civilization, every kind of person that's ever lived until, I'm not talking about right this moment, but in the history of humanity, all believed that there was a God. They had their own gods, they made up a God, but they all believed that there was a God. And that's because each and every human being is built with that something inside of them that tells them he's out there, he's there. And it wasn't until God spoke to people that we knew who he was. And then we knew his name, even Elohim. We knew his name as Jehovah God of Israel, the Lord our God. We learned who he was. We learned what he wants. We learned all these things. But here you would think the whole people, that the whole world that believes in a God, when a God does the things that God does, and when God gives the message that God gave, when he gives the gospel message, the good news, that you can have eternal life, and all your sins can be forgiven, and you can enter into eternity with this God that you believe. Who in the right mind would ever say no?
Amen.
And yet people say no more than they say yes. So you ask yourself about the elect. Who are these elect? The elect angels are just like the elect human beings. Whosoever will. Whosoever will believe. But it all comes down to, in the message this morning, I guess I have a little in my head, I want to spurt it out a little bit. But it all really does come down to love. Do you believe angels can love? I don't know. All I know this is I guarantee they love the Father. I guarantee they do what they do because they love God. And then there's other angels that have fell and fallen from heaven, I guess because they didn't love God. Just like there's human beings on this earth. Some love God. Some don't love God. The loved ones that love God, God knows. It's if God knows his own. God knows who's his. And we're bound together by this love. And this love is found in the gospel message. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. God became a man. Really? God would do that? Yeah, why? So he could die for you. What? Yeah. I mean, what a great gospel message. He loves you that much. Well, here the angels, the elect angels, also have a gospel message. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Revelation chapter 22. Is God good? Is he good? Who said all the time? Will, was that you? Would you? I'd like you to read the next verse then, if you would, please. Because God is good all the time. Is there any doubt to that? Is there any doubt at all to that? Even when God is in his wrath and anger, he's still good. Even when God is judging you and putting you under tribulation and trial, or just being like is a parent good when they punish their child? Of course they are. Is a parent good when they're spanking their child? Yeah. Doesn't mean the parent likes it. Parent does it because he's a good parent. And they'll do whatever it takes to stop their children from going the wrong way. God's the same way. Look in chapter 22 with me of Revelation. And Will, would you please stand and read verses 8 and 9 for me out loud, slowly? Who? Stop. Who?
Feet of the angel.
Who? One more time.
Feet of the angel.
Okay. Stop. What's that word again? One more time. Keep going.
And of thy brethren.
Stop. Of thy who?
Brethren.
One more time.
Brethren.
Go ahead.
The prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God.
Amen. See, he's telling you this angel that's been showing him the future, that's been showing him all these things, and he's taking him here and taking him there, and this angel is like, you know, amazing. And John, the beloved, falls down before his feet. He's just in amazement and worship. He says, no, I'm just like you. I'm not, well, your brother. I'm your brother. You tell me where angels are ever brothers. He says, and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm just like you are, he says. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation 19. Jason, are you there? If you could read that one. Revelation 19, are you there? Look in verse 10 with me, please. And read it out nice and loud and slow. The testimony of Jesus. An angel needed the testimony of Jesus. The testimony, that's the gospel. The testimony of Jesus is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are dead in trespasses and sins. You've broken God's laws and commandments. And you therefore are guilty under the holy hand of God, and you shall go to hell. End of story. But, there's a great but in the Bible. But God so loved the world and loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said, do you believe this? And they said, I believe that how can an angel have the testimony of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ when they've already known him before the foundations of the world? Amen. Because something, that's what I would want to talk about. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. I cannot prove what I'm saying. I just believe it. You can make up your own. You're allowed to make up your own, you know, what you believe. But please compare scripture with scripture and spiritual things with spiritual things and use the mind that God has given you. It says we're going to judge angels. Right there ought to make you ask questions. How are we going to judge angels? What are we going to judge them for? What do we know that they don't know? What do we know about, Beth, that angels don't know about? Life, sin, temptation, messing up. You know, because if an angel messes up one time, they're kicked out of heaven forever. That's kind of like, it sounds severe, but they know better. They know. It's not like, you know, it's very simple. All right, look with me, if you would, in Matthew 11, verse 11. And I would like... Brother Harris, could you please read this for me out loud? Verse 11, 11, chapter 11, verse 11. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's enough. Thank you very much. It said, Jesus said many different times in the scriptures, them that are born of women. You have to ask yourself, why would he say such a thing? Aren't all people born of women?
only them, those that are born of a woman. See, things like this make me question. I love it because it's the Word of God speaking to you. It's the Word of God telling you something. And if you don't have enough sense to go, huh? What? What do you mean? Then isn't everyone born of a woman? And that's the whole thing that ties in about the angels that fell in Genesis chapter 6. They were not born of a woman. They took themselves human bodies. They tried to populate the world. They tried to bring in the millennial reign of them being on this earth and ruling and reigning and having the chance of to have salvation and all these things. And I've already talked about that. I'm not. I just want you to realize, he said, that them that are born of a woman. It means something. Look in John chapter 3 with me, please. Book of John chapter 3. In another, in Leviticus, it says, every child, every male child that breaketh the matrix, says he shall be holy unto the Lord. That means is when you give birth, when a woman, a mother gives birth to her child, they break the water, they break and they break forth and the water and the blood come out. And you think about what happened when this Roman spear punctured into Jesus' heart, what came out? Water and blood, because that was a birth. He was birthing the church. It was a birth from the cross, a birth of new creatures, a birth of a heavenly children, a birth. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, you are now new creations, new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are born again. Born again from where? Where did we come from? From the heart of God. Think about that. Look at me, if you would, please, in John 3 and verse 5. I'm going to ask Brother Keith, if you'd please stand and read this nice and loud. Keep going. One more verse.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Amen.
Marvel not that I said ye must be born again.
Amen. He said, verily, verily, very seriously, very serious manner of speaking, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So therefore, if I was an angelic being, I would want to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. I would want to be able to be born of water and of the Spirit. I just want you to see these verses because they mean something. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Say amen when you're there. Brother Brian, would you please stand when you get there and read First John 5, verse 4, out loud.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Keep going.
Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Keep going. Keep going.
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Keep going.
And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one.
Amen. That's it.
Receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son.
That's good enough. Thank you very much. I want you to see those verses because it says, this is he that came by water and blood. Who? Even Jesus Christ. God was manifest into the flesh. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 3:16. This is why this is so important. Why every scripture means something. Why every bit builds upon another bit. You remember in the scripture it says, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. Remember that? That's how we build understanding, by precept upon precept, line upon line, doctrine upon doctrine, scripture upon scripture, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, how the Spirit inside of us bears witness and gives us understanding. Look in verse 16. I'll read it. It says, are you there? It says, and without controversy. See, I don't care what the Mormons say. I don't care what the Jehovah Witnesses say. I don't care what the Muslims say. I don't care what anyone says, because God says without controversy. There's no back and forth. There's no yeah buts. There's no but I don't knows. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, capital G-O-D, was manifest, it means revealed, in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and look what he says, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. It says, seen of angels, seen, had to be a witness. Had to be a witness that this man was he. This man, human being, born of a woman, was the literal God. The creator of all things walked among us as a man. And he had blood and a heart. And he had everything that we have. And he felt everything that we feel. And the angels had to see that because of all these other reasons. Turn with me and we're going to finish 1 John chapter 3. All the way back to 1 John again. Ed, would you please stand and out loud read verses 1 and 2. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Amen. And then it goes on to say, and every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. Let's get the gist of this. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, at this point and at this moment, the only other people called the sons of God were angels. Angels were called the sons of God, and they are called the holy angels of God. And it says that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus, God, shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, more powerful than the angels. We shall be God's incarnate flesh. We not be God. We're going to be as him. Amen. Don't get that messed up. They think, oh, well, I'm going to be him. It's a gift. It's a love thing that God has done all this, that we could be like him. That should blow every circuit, and we should just like robots and just not know what to do. That should blow your mind. That blew John's mind. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be just like him. Ruling, reigning, all power, authority, just like God. Amen. That, and why is that? Because the angels desire to look into this. I would too. If I was the angels and I saw God and beheld the throne of God and I saw the holy, 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 and I saw the earth the doorpost shake and I saw the smoke and I knew, whoa, that's God, right? Whoa, I'd love to be like him. Wouldn't you want to be like him? That's why it says, the Bible says, the angels desire to look into this. And I said all that because of the teaching of everything that I taught is about the judgment of the angels. Angels shall be judged. And the weird thing is, they're going to be judged by us. That is the weird thing. They're going to be judged by us. God will also judge. The last judgment is the seventh judgment, the final judgment. Since you're in 1 John, turn to Revelation chapter 20. This is the final judgment. You see, God started something way back in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God put man, and God created man. In the beginning, for a reason and purpose, that was his reason and his purpose. Amen? And so therefore, wherever there's a beginning, there's an end of a plan. God has no beginning and end, but his plan, he had a plan. You don't have a beginning and say, well, what's the end game? I don't know. I'm just starting something. No, God has an ending. And his ending is to have a new heaven and a new earth. To rule and reign with men, this creation, the reason he created. And it says in Revelation chapter 20, look at me in verse 11. Oh, let me see where I want to start. Oh, I'm sorry, I was in 22. Look at me in verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the final judgment. The final judgment of all things. The final judgment of the world. The final judgment of the angels. The final judgment of all things. Those that were not found written in the book of life. The elect angels and the elect people. How do you get elected? You get your name written down in glory. Amen. How do you become an elect? You get your name written down in the book of life. Someone say amen. How do I get to be one of them? You get your name written down in the book of life. How can I make sure that this never happens to me? Get your name written down in the book of life. Whether you be an angel, whether you be a human, whether you be a devil, it doesn't matter. We all have to have our names written down in the book of life. And the book of life, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Because he is God incarnate flesh. Amen? Amen. With that said, I'd like to open it up. We have 10 minutes for some questions about any of this. I was hoping there'd be other people here because they have asked me questions about this already, but they're not here to ask the questions. So I was wondering if anyone has a question about anything, then now's the time we can have question and answer time. Just remember, just like you tell your children, there's no bad question. Yes. Yes. Keep going. Gives you a Bible verse.
Yeah, Matthew
22. Yeah, we read it. Open it up and look at it. So that's the only thing. See, the people that don't believe this is because they don't understand it. And so if you're a Bible student and you don't understand that angels have changed form, let's put it this way. I've read that. I know exactly what you're talking about because my actual Bible says the same thing. But they're footnotes written by man. If we take away all commentary and we take away all teaching, whatever you were taught, and we just go by what the Bible says, you can only come to one conclusion. Matthew chapter what, Keith?
22, verse 30.
Could you read that, please? Exactly. He's talking about these angels in Genesis chapter 6. What they're saying is that the Bible in that verse tells us that angels cannot have sexual relations because of that verse. Read that verse again. Yep. As the angels of who? God. Where? The angels in Genesis chapter 6 left heaven. They left their first estate. That's why they're in chains of darkness. These are not, you got to remember, the devil's an angel. So when he says, you know, when the commentary says, well, angels can't do that. Really? The Bible says they did it. Well, look at this one verse where it says, when we get our resurrected body, that we're going to be like the angels in heaven. We're not going to have any more relationships to populate. That's what. You know, copulations for, to populate, to bring forth more children. So it says we're going to be, with our glorified bodies, we're going to be like the angels are in heaven. There's no sex in heaven. There's no sex. There's no need for it. It's absolutely just taken away. We're going to be like the angels in heaven. What about the angels that aren't in heaven? What about them? That's what the Bible's talking. That's why I've read that they have one verse, and that verse makes no sense to me, and they would just believe the Bible, and that's all it is. Don't believe, listen to commentary. Don't even listen to me if you don't want to. Just read your Bible and see what your Bible says, because why does he say, well, some think, why do some think that? Because the Bible says it. If you just go by Scripture, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Separation, sons of God and men. And then you say, okay, well, who are these sons of God? Job chapter 1, chapter 2, it says, there came a time when the sons of God presented themselves before the throne of God, and they're the angels. So it always, sons of God is always angels. The only son of God, Adam and Jesus Christ, begotten, and then now, behold, are we called the sons of God. You know what I mean? So I hope that answered your question. Greg, you had your hand up next?
No, I just wanted to...
Oh, come here. Tammy, you had your hand up?
That they left their first estate, so they obviously changed into something.
Exactly. It says they left their own habitation and they left their first estate. Exactly. And that's why God flooded the earth, because of these abominations that were taking place. Amen. And then those angels who did that are reserved in chains of darkness. And that's the same angels that Jesus went and preached to, the Bible tells us. Yes, Brother Bob.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tom, what?
So the angels that left their first estate and had relationships with the women of men, they created these angels?
They created the what?
I mean, the giants.
The giants, yes. Their offspring were called giants, which the word means Nephilim. Everyone knows that. They try to not talk about it, but that's what it means. The Hebrew word for giants in there, go look it up, is Nephilim, which means mighty fallen ones.
God wiped the earth?
Yes. If God wiped the earth out because human beings were wicked, oh my goodness, we'd be in trouble. Yeah, human beings have always been wicked in a way, but it was right after the sons of God saw the daughters of men and that they were fair to look upon, and they took them all that they desired and took them wives. And they were. And then it says, and then there was giants in those days after that. So all these things are explained by Scripture. Yes, Bob?
Yeah, now when it says that we judge angels, we're going to be judging angels, what period is this? Is that during the millennial reign?
Yes, sir. That is during the millennial reign of Christ, when the devil is cast into the bottomless pit, There is no temptation on the earth, and all the nations are gathered together, and Christ, he separates the goats from the sheep. There are going to be a lot of human beings, I don't know how many, but there's going to be human beings left on the earth that have never heard the gospel, but yet they kept the gospel in their heart, meaning love thy neighbor as thyself. It says, I was naked, you gave me clothes. I was hungry, you fed me. I was in prison, you came visit me. And they all said, when did we ever do this to you? They didn't even know who he was. But in their heart, they kept the law of God. And so they get to stay. And then we also have the Jewish people that are going to be on the earth at this time. And then we have, which I believe, and I cannot prove this. This is what I believe. Like I said, you can study it yourself. This is where he says, you have to ask the question, how are we as human beings going to judge angels? What do we know about that angels don't know about? And that's about being human.
What about the elect angels? They
are the ones. They are the ones that are going to get that chance to enter into the kingdom of God, just as we, to have a testimony of Jesus Christ, just as the angels in Revelation chapter 22 and 19 said.
Well, do we judge along with them?
No, they are going to.
Or do we judge them?
No, we're going to be rulers and reigns with Christ. We're going to judge around the world. What does it mean to judge? Not to sentence someone to guilt. What it means to judge is to tell them what's right and wrong. What they should do and what they shouldn't do.
Okay, now what about the fallen angels, though?
Well, where are they? They're all in hell.
Yeah.
At this time, during the millennial reign of Christ, we know that there's angels on this earth right now that possess people, correct? Mm-hmm. Yes, they oppress people. And we cannot, a Christian cannot be possessed because we're already possessed by the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. He that is in you Amen. Is greater than he that's in the world. They can oppress you. They cannot possess you. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So anyway, all of the devil and his angels fought with Michael and his angels. Remember that in Revelation chapter 12?
Yeah.
It says, and their place was found no more for them. And they were cast down to the earth. And then it says, woe unto your inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. For he knows, but his time is but a little. And that's when he becomes the Antichrist, and that's when he gets all the forces of the earth to come against Israel. We know these things, and that's when Christ returns to the earth, and with the sword of his mouth, he destroys them all. The blood is so bad in the battle of Armageddon that sits up to his horse's bridle. It says it takes 7 years for them to finish cleaning up the body parts. And that's when Christ is going to rule and reign. But we are taken off the earth before that because we are a special breed. What are we? We are the bride. We're not just anybody. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. We're the church. Amen? Hallelujah. But anyway, yes, it's during the millennial reign. Let me finish this, because during the millennial reign, something very strange happens after 1,000 years. God looses Satan again. He lets Satan out again. Why? You have to ask why. Because what does he do? He tempts all these people that have been living on this earth for 1,000 years, seeing Jesus Christ rule and reign from Jerusalem. They've seen him, just like the angels did in heaven, and yet they still left, right? They still disobeyed, just like we do today, and yet we still disobey. Every single time, what God does is he allows anyone to come in, but he always shakes a tree to see who's real. He always, always, always tries and tests to make sure you're pure, to make sure you're one of the real ones. You understand that? So at the end of the age, after the 1,000-year reign, the devil's loosed out, and guess what he does? He deceives the whole world, and they try to come against us. They try to come and get us on and kill us. And then what does God do? He sends fire down from heaven and destroys all them. So it's always about God purifying, God having a remnant, God having who's real.
Now they go into the pit at the end.
Yes. They go into the lake of fire.
Death and hell are swallowed up.
Exactly. They go into the lake of fire at the very end.
So the fallen angels go into the pit with Satan and the Antichrist.
Yes. The seventh judgment is the great white throne of judgment. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Up front.
How can you be sure that your name's in that book of life?
Oh, that's a great question. How can you be sure?
I mean,
I'll tell you right now, one word. You ready? Love. Love. When you hear the love of the Father, when you hear the gospel message that you're a sinner, you've sinned, you've broken the laws of God, and you are guilty before God, and you're going to be cast into hell. And then you hear about Jesus and what he did and why he came and what he did on the cross. All that was to pay for you, so you don't have to go there. And when you receive that by faith, when you truly believe that, the Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate flesh, God, the Spirit of God comes into you. And he purchases you. You say, he said, literally, the Bible says, you are bought with a price. The precious blood of, he buys you. He says, you are mine. You belong to me. And then he seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. And therefore, if you're sealed by God, the Almighty, who can break that seal? No one. And that's how you know, because, but how can a real person know? Is that's why the Bible says you must examine yourself. You must know your own self. You must be sure that you're in the faith, because there's so many people that say they love, and if we treated our husbands or our wives or our jobs or our friends the way we say we treat God, we wouldn't have a husband, a wife, or a job. We'd all be fired, because in all reality, number one commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You cannot do that except what happens. God, still, in his mercy, he comes into you and he gives you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, it says, and the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. I didn't love God before. I was born again. Now I love God. I didn't care about the Bible before. I'm born again. Now I care about the Bible. It hurts me when I say the smallest lie. It hurts. I feel like I did the worst. I feel like I murdered someone when I just say one lie. I feel horrible. That's the evidence that holiness is inside of me. Amen? And any more? So in all reality, we need to know. God knows, we don't know, but you better know. And that's what it's all about. It's about being real. Do you love him? Do you really love him? That's what it's all about. And the great thing about it isn't even you that really loves him. It's the love of God that he puts in your heart for you. Wow, God does everything for us, you know? He's so good. Anyone else? Anyone else have their hand up? Is that it? Okay, well, we're going to close right now in prayer, and the church will start in 5 minutes. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. Your love is amazing. Your love is never changing. Your love is eternal. We thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for saving sinners such as I. I just pray now, Lord, you'd save more sinners and add to our church. I pray you'd bless our church and strengthen it and edify it. I pray you'd bring the people in. I pray you'd fill this place up with people that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. In your precious name, amen. Church will start in 5 minutes.